We're here celebrating today. This church has been here for 102 years. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, thanks, Dave. 102 years. A couple years ago, we had a blowout weekend that involved the Pipers, and then Mark came, and then a group from Olivet. It was a full-blown weekend. Then last year, we kind of replicated that with a Saturday night and Sunday, and here we are again today. And if you'll just start those slides, Laura, I want you just to, as we think about Old Fashioned Day, as we think about this weekend, just some things to get you in the mood, and you'll recognize maybe some of these pictures. As I was looking through, thank you, Fritz, as he always does an amazing job, I recognized some of these age-appropriate, or I should say era-appropriate items. I forgot about this one, you know. You can't put anything aluminum foil in the microwave, but that was back before microwaves. But I want to say some special thank yous this morning. Yesterday we had a car show, and Eric Glaze, as well as Steve and Lorraine Reese, were majorly involved with that, did a lot of advertising, traveled all over to other car shows and made that day happen. Before that even happened this week, Richard Harris, his guys, including a Phil Calvert, we're here doing a beautiful job on the landscape. Janie and Sally and Jeanette, Brian and Sheila, Tricia, so many in the kitchen yesterday, volunteering of their time to make that happen. Ed and Barbara Mullins, the beautiful decorations both across the way and in the sanctuary. Jim Hayden, Andy Hayden, Joe Hayden, the kettle corn, which is just amazing. They did that yesterday. Cindy Oren provide horses. Taylor and Case helped to make that possible. Lucas Penrod was involved with guiding our hayride. The fire department brought ice cream and served ice cream for a free will donation. I got to tell you the rest of the story here, okay? Yesterday, one of the winners in the chili contest was Pastor Dan, okay? And I knew ahead of time which one was his. It was the elk chili, which truly was amazing. And what happened was, Carlos Riddle, every once in a while, I said, Jim, you got to take money. This boot is stuffed. So I took money out of the fireman's boot and walked right into jar number 6 and stuck it in. So jar number 6 had a well over 200 and something dollars worth of, yes. And so the ice cream alone from the fire department was probably over $300 worth to make it a great day. Thank you, guys and ladies. Mr. Mike Likens, our chief, is here this morning. Let's see what else. Where's Keegan? Is Keegan in here? Did he go downstairs? Keegan, did he go downstairs? All right. Well, when you see him, thank him. He was monitoring the activity in the bouncy houses. I went up there a little bit and started to sit down. He says, what are you doing here? This is my territory. So, okay, Keegan. You know, that's just Keegan. And so, but there were a lot of people who brought desserts. And then this morning, Carla, oh, by the way, Gary Springer, out here, traffic control guy for like, what, 5 hours? That was awesome. And speaking of Gary, he also provided donuts this morning from Kincannon's. Carla, Richard, Jill, Eva, Jane, Leonard, Gary, and Judy McCurry all were part of the team that provided a wonderful breakfast. So thanks to everyone. Thanks to everyone. You make this possible. You make this possible. That's about 25, 30 names right there that make this possible to volunteer and give of your time. And thank you for being here today. I know some people are like, oh, Fashion Day, big crowd, I'll just take a break. Well, thank you for not taking a break, okay? Thank you for being here because this is a crucial Sunday. You understand the history of this church back in 1917 when Muncie First Church wanted to have a revival out in these parts. And so there was an old school out here that no longer exists, and they had a revival, and fire caught that revival, and people got together. They said, you know what? We think a church needs to be planted at this end of the county. Right now, First Church is about at that far end of the county as you can get, and here we are at this end of the county. And God has been faithful. Amen. And what Mark just sang about the song, Fill Me Now, that truly exemplifies the people that have prayed, have sacrificed, a lot of sacrifice. People who've attended, people who have invited, people who have given of their time. I think of projects that have been involved with painting in this building and next door and all kinds of things that have had. This is not just magically appearing. It's because of you and your commitment to Jesus that this is happening. As Marcus said in that song, Fill Me Now, it goes right in line. If you have an outline there, you can take it out. It's on the back of your bulletin. And walk with me as we look at this together as we talk about, you've got one there, Brother Good, as we talk about what it means with this relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. See, what we're doing here, and I have to remind myself, so as I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me today. I have to remind myself that among all these activities, of all the moving pieces, all the volunteers, all the food, all those things that come together, the work of the Holy Spirit is vital.
Yes, that's right.
Don't miss that today. The work of the Holy Spirit is crucial.
Yes, that's
right. I got to hear Mark sing at a memorial service the other day, a good friend of mine, Howard Dalton, who's now in heaven. As Mark was singing, I'm like, the Holy Spirit's on him right now.
Yes.
Mark sings a lot of different events like this, and weddings and funerals and homecomings and revivals. And I just knew that that moment, God was on him. And I want to make sure the Holy Spirit, as we look at this morning, is right here, right now in this place. Dear Jesus, help us to hear you. Help us to know you. Holy Spirit, show up. Speak, we pray, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Don't miss that. This time together is more than an event. It's an opportunity to encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
a couple of weeks ago, we were standing here. I told you, and the whole focus of the sermon was, God wants to know you. We talk about knowing Jesus, but understand this. He wants to know you. God wants to know you. The Holy Spirit wants to know you, to be active and real in your life.
Yes.
There are a couple of things, though, that can block this from happening. We have to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. The first thing is this, our comfort. We're here in a place today and we enjoy the comfort of air conditioning, the lighting, we don't have flies all over because we've got these windows that protect us. If we get in trouble, oh, no problem, just grab some plastic and swipe it. It'll take care of that repair. It'll take care of that need. Need a second mortgage? Whew, no problem. Need an extra line of credit? There it is. Our comfort can get in the way, I believe, in those times when God wants to, by His Holy Spirit, do something. Another thing that can get in the way is the noise of this world. We are so loaded with activities. It seems like it's not the fact that we want to be here, it's the fact that we want to be six or eight places at the same time. And in those moments, we're not able to allow the Holy Spirit to do it because the noise gets in the way, the conflict of activity. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. If we will take time and get beyond the comfort and get beyond the noise. This morning, I didn't write it in your bulletin because I wanted you to hear what I have to say. This morning, the message is entitled this, Forget About God's Will for Your Life. Forget about God's will for your life. Look at the quote I put on there from A.W. Tozier. To expose our hearts to truth and consistently refuse or neglect to obey the impulses it arouses is to stymie the motions of life within us and, if it persisted, to grieve the Holy Spirit into silence. I listened to a podcast. I can't even start to unpack that. I just put that in there so you could read it and reread it and mull it over in your brain. I listened to a podcast, several different ones. One I listened to is from Dr. Ron. It's called Dr. Ron's Word of Advice, Words of Wisdom. He talks a lot about leadership. In one episode, he said, we always talk to our kids about what do you want to be when you grow up? We do that, don't we? Especially when they get to junior high and then in senior high, it's crunch time. You better know by the time you're a junior what you're going to be when you grow up. I'm still working on that. We talk about how God has a wonderful plan for your life. Every year I pray when kids go to camp, Jesus, bring them to yourself. Jesus, speak into their lives and call them to preach or be a missionary or be an evangelist.
Yeah.
However, as we read through the scriptures, very few times do I see people who had a 5, 10, 20-year plan as God was laying out their future. Remember a guy named Abraham in the Old Testament? Abraham was settled. Abraham, in our today's standard, would be retired and well off. God showed up and said, Abraham, go. What do I take? Abraham, go. Where are we going? Abraham, go. What if God did that to us? Just go. Just get up and go. We look at it and we're like, okay, here's the deal. I've got all these things behind me that I've established in my life. All these places I've been, degrees I've earned, opportunities I've gotten a hold of, and so there it is. Or I'm looking here and I've got all this stuff I'm looking forward to. And you understand, and this is something else Dr. Ron says, there are 2 days you can't do anything about. That's yesterday, and that's tomorrow. I meet a lot of people that are stuck in yesterday. Somebody done somebody wrong song. I've been beaten. I've been neglected. I lost my job. I lost my health. Or people that are like, I can't wait till 5 years from now. I got it all planned out. I'm going to live it up. Going to move to Florida and woohoo. I'll be there in the crowd. Shuffleboard and golf carts. That's the life for me. Really? What if God spoken to you right this minute and said something else? Let me just tell you this. We're more concerned about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow than what God wants to speak into us right now. What the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us about right this moment. The decisions we make next year, I put that in your bulletin. The decisions that are going to come down the road next year are going to be directly affected by what we do right now. You understand that? We wake up some days like, well, how did that happen? Well, we made a decision one day, and now we're living in that day. So whatever we're deciding right now, God is going to use to mold and shape to move us to tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. So my question is right now, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me and to you? One scripture, it's in Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I heard it years ago. You may have heard it too. The Bible will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from the Bible. You ever heard that quote? The Bible will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from the Bible. My hope this morning in the course of this message is to say, guess what? If you walk by the Spirit right now, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, don't worry about tomorrow or 5 years from now. If you walk by the Spirit right now, there's all kinds of things in the Bible, principles, word pictures, touchstones to help us. Open moment by moment to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's happening right here. Now, we talk about God having a wonderful plan for our life. He does.
Yes.
Don't miss the moment. I have a couple friends here today I want to talk to for just a minute. And I don't understand how this works. But they're learning. One is named Mark, and one is named Paul. I've got two friends that maybe at one point, 5, 10, 15 years ago, they were on this path, and something happened to change that path. I'm going to invite them to come on up. Would Mark and Paul come on up here and stand with me for a minute? Here are two men that I can tell you, understand. I understand that these are two men who are learning to walk by the Spirit. I don't think either one of them are concerned about 401ks. I don't think either one of them are concerned about what car they drove this morning to get here. I don't think either one of them are concerned about what's in the cupboard at home. But they're dealing with something totally different. In fact, this one right here, just a week ago, lost a brother-in-law to what we're going to talk about for a couple minutes here. It's this thing called cancer. I want to have you guys move just a little bit closer to the center here so I'm not in the middle. You guys are. It's about you right now, okay? So, absolutely. In fact,
wow.
Your stature just went up.
This is different.
This is different, isn't it? You're looking good, brother. I want to ask each of you this question. I'll start with Mark. What was your first thought when you found out that you'd been diagnosed with cancer?
Well, when I heard it was stage 3, I felt like, oh, there's hope. I felt like that we'll get through this. And but then when, after all the chemo and all the tests, and then they said, no, it's stage 4, then that just blew my mind. I fell on my knees and just cried out, God, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I can do. And so it was overwhelming. The C word's always a scary word. But that's how I felt at the moment, at that time.
Well, I knew things weren't going to be good from the beginning. I had a hole that ate through my neck in about 12 days. And I will tell you this, I had a peace that you can't explain. I constantly was reminded in a song from Promise Keepers that God knows my name.
Yeah.
And this, and again, I cannot explain it. And if you ever get to this spot in your life and God places his hand upon you, doesn't matter what you're going through, he knows your name.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be okay. It'll be okay if you stay here. It'll be okay if you go on. And I think back to people in the Bible. I never wanted to be Job. Don't ever want to be Job. But I thought back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting ready to get tossed in a fiery furnace. Nothing in that story does ever talk about how they fought and resisted not to get tossed into a fiery furnace. I don't like a sunburn. I guarantee a fiery furnace is not a fun place to be. But they had a peace about it.
So what are you learning? This is, you're getting into this, aren't you? Good.
Yeah,
what you're learning?
For me, I'm learning that day by day, a close relationship with God will hold you and will sustain you and will keep you. And that good music and good songs bring comfort to your soul.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
I don't appreciate Mark singing all the songs that I was going to sing this morning. He took all the good ones. I knew I should have asked, but okay. I'm not going to sing.
You're not going to sing?
I'm not going to sing.
All right. So Mark, what are you learning through this?
And like he said, there's peace that comes. And I think of anything, when you go through a troubling time, you find out you have friends that you never thought you'd had, really. But they were right there to encourage and pray for us. I remember, and I might have told this before, but the four men who brought their paralytic friend to Christ, even though it was crowded, they still came. And they still pursued to make sure that everything was good. And so what I've learned is that they're wonderful friends and there's peace, yes, through that. And it also puts you in places you never would have been. And Paul, I'm sure that's true with you. I would have never met some people because I would have never been in that hospital area where I prayed with a man who was going to kill himself. But God showed through my words that he didn't have to do that. God's with him, could care, love him, and he gave his heart to the Lord instead. What if I never had cancer? That man may never heard the good news. So I say thank you for that. And
amen. So what? And how are you feeling? How are you doing now? What's your next step?
Well, I, praise the Lord, 4 years ago was my last operation. The doctor comes in on the 11th hour and says, I don't understand it. That cancer's gone. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Praise God.
And for me, I said, well, it's because God wanted that for me at this time. I believe that. It was a prayer that answered for me at that time. You know, we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Some may die sooner than others, but we all have a hope in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So I have hope, a peace, and right now all things are clear, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah. So, Paul, how about you? Your next steps?
Lunch this afternoon.
Yeah, lunch.
I recently went to California. They were looking at a new drug to combat the kind of cancer that I've got. And it's a rare form. It mutates and it doesn't respond to anything else that they've done. So, after going out there and talking with those doctors and my doctor in Indy, I'm on an infusion treatment I started 3 weeks ago. and hopefully that will be the right plan. I like what Jerry Thomas often says, sudden exit is a sudden victory. And I'm not planning on dying soon. But there is peace in knowing who has you. Yeah. Like Mark said, you never understand the influences of the people around you in the church. I don't know how people would do it without a church.
That's right.
I'm amazed at the influence that God has on other people, I feel like, through this experience. And I don't know why I get to be selected, but I got to be selected. So that's your hand. Play it.
Now, you had a question you wanted me to ask. Did you want to just go ahead and...
Sure, what was it?
What was the question? Something about a baseball team.
Oh, yes. What?
Don't
what?
I'm sorry. You got the microphone.
You know what? That's right. And I can't even remember what I said.
You, Paul.
Oh, no.
I love it. Yeah, there you go.
No, I didn't. I forgot. What did I say? Everybody's afraid to say it. Is there any doubt that you would die before the Cubs? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You submitted that question, right?
There was a question, would I die before the Cubs won a World Series? So everything's been fulfilled. It's time to go. I better get this right.
Well, we're going to pray, and then I'll keep preaching. So, Jesus, thank you for these men, and thank you for bringing them into our world. I think of Paul's ministry here. I'll never forget when we first came, and he sent us a little packet that had pictures of his children kneeling beside the bed praying for us. I'll never forget looking back through the archives of Harris Chapel and seeing he and Lori leading numerous children in kids' church. What a blessing they are to this church over these many, many years. Jesus, I pray your touch, and we've prayed before, but again, your touch on Paul's life. That Jesus, these treatments would be the exact remedy, along with the powerful, great physician hand of God Almighty, that these would be the things that would bring health and wholeness and healing to Paul's body.
Yes.
Father, thank you for Mark and for his influence and for the way that, Father, from time to time, you just bring him through these doors to give us a shot in the arm to be reminded of how great you are, how real you are, how you want to do life with us moment by moment. Keep your hand on him as he continues to be tested. Keep your hand on Paul as he goes through these treatments. And for others today, Lord, that are in the mix of this terrible thing called cancer, may your presence be real. And Father, instead of thinking of all the horrible outcomes, may there be a presence and a peace that comes from your Holy Spirit. That's why we wanted these moments right here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, gentlemen. I thank the Lord for these guys. I'll tell you, folks, we give a lot of accolades to people that can throw and catch a football, that can make a layup or dunk a ball or hit one out of the park, but these are the guys that are my heroes. Can I just tell you that? These are my heroes. These are my heroes. Here's the deal. Scripture tells us that we have these bodies, and it says it in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These bodies that are being pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We carry around Jesus in our hearts and lives. That's what I want us to know this morning. I see so many things, whether it be on the news, on social media, in conversations, that focus everywhere on all this other stuff. I don't want us to miss what the Holy Spirit, as this scripture says, that he wants to do life with us as we walk by the Spirit. As we walk by the Spirit, how does that happen? Well, it happens by repentance, is one thing. There's a quote you'll see a little bit later, I'll read to you, but repentance, it's turning from the sin in my life. The sin could be the cares of this world. The sin could be all the things that I overthink in my life. The sin could be what I say, where I go, what I do that doesn't glorify God. It's turning away from that, turning away from my selfishness, letting everything go, walking only with the Spirit, not being enslaved by anything else. As I've got it here, only you, Holy Spirit, only you in charge of my life. It involves taking up my cross. It involves a radical faith. The same word we get the word radish from, radical, which means the fruit is in the root. The radish goes into the ground. The radish holds solid in the ground, and that's where the fruit is. We're called to be deeply rooted in Jesus. Interesting, there's a part of Scripture where Jesus is watching worship take place. I remember visiting a black church one time, and what they did at that church was to, when it came time for the offering, they had ushers that stood across the front and held the plates. If you had offering, you got up and marched around and put your money in the plate. Jesus was in a service just like that. People were coming up and putting their money in the plate. He saw this guy, that lady, this guy, that. And all of a sudden, this little lady comes up in a very inconspicuous, low-key kind of way, puts a couple of coins in the plate. Jesus says, stop the worship. Stop the offertory. Look what's happening right now. She's giving everything. Do we give everything? My friend Mark Royer, three times in his adult life, has given everything. The Lord just spoke to him and said, Mark, give it all away. Three different times, he just gave it all away. Monies, furnishings, everything, he just gave it all away, and God brought it back. A few years later, God shows up, Mark, give it all away. He did it again. Mark doesn't talk about this. I will on his behalf. Three different times. Oh, Jesus, don't touch this. Don't. He didn't do it. He just took it. It's the idea of submitting to Him. The reason I thought about that is because in every moment of life, just submitting to Him. What if God spoke into your world right now and just said, get up and start this ministry. Don't wait for somebody else to get along with you. Just do it right now. Just do it. Or what if God spoke to you like He spoke to David, and there he was dancing before the Lord in his priestly garb, and the people are like, don't do that, David. You're embarrassing us. So David says, you know what? I'm going to dance all the more. He was worshiping God. He wasn't thinking about that. Our goal is to constantly, constantly seek His presence. Yes. Moment by moment, step by step. Amen. That's what He calls us to do in the Word. Sometimes, though, when we get caught up in this plan or that plan, we forget about what God wants to do in this second right now. I love this story on a video I saw. Francis Chan, he was teaching this, and he said one day he was walking into a coffee shop, and there was a guy standing outside, and as he walked in, he just sensed the Lord was saying, go talk to that guy. So he made this deal with the Lord. He says, okay, if he's out there when I come back, I'll talk to him. He went in, took his time, had some coffee, visited. About 20 minutes later, came out, and the guy was still there. So he went up to this guy, kind of a disheveled biker-looking guy, and he said, hey, I think the Lord wants me to talk to you. What do you think about that? Guy just looked at him and says, I don't know. And that was it. That was it. Francis Chan said, I felt so embarrassed as I walked away. I'm like, Lord, you told me to talk to that guy. And the Lord says, yes, and you did. Sometimes we feel like if God tells us to do something, the bells are going to ring, the sky's going to part, and all this sunshine will just blow us away. It could be something as simple as just obeying God at that moment. Amen. Just that simple. Just that simple. Chan also talks about the idea of this filling. He says we need to be working and seeking constantly. Unlike the guy that bought the treadmill and then took it back 6 months later and says, it didn't help me lose weight. And the guy at the store said, well, how often were you on it? He said, I never used it. He said, there's your problem. It's the same thing here. It's like you just can't have this sitting on the shelf and like, okay, here we go, God, and just leave it on the shelf. It's a constant moment by moment seeking, seeking, seeking. I think I put this in your outline. correct me if I'm wrong, Francis Chan says this. I had to put this down. If you are listening, does it have that in there? Okay, look at this. If you are listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit, you won't sin. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
If you're listening to and you're obeying the Holy Spirit, you won't sin. Well, Jim, everybody sins. But if you're listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit, you won't sin. Why? In any given moment, it is impossible to live in the power of the Spirit and sin at the same time. This may not be good for your theology, but I love the thought. I think it's good. I think it works. Sin is wholly opposed to everything that is of the Spirit. They are mutually exclusive and totally contrary to each other. Oh, that made sense in my heart. At the moment I'm drifting, at the moment I'm just kind of off to the side a little bit, maybe on that rumble strip in my mind, in my thought life. Where's Scripture? Where's the Holy Spirit?
Right.
At the moment I've got this person in mind that I just want to chew their head off, who maybe cut me off in traffic. Where's the Holy Spirit?
Right.
I gave you that quote because I want you to just read that and think about that again and again and again. When I'm upset, my feelings got hurt, where's the Holy Spirit? Wow. Here's the deal. And Paul talks about this in Galatians 5 a little bit later. There's a couple of groups that he outlines. One group that is living according to the flesh. You see those things that are listed. This group that's living according to the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealous outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. I like it that Paul says that. And by the way, if I forgot anything else that doesn't reflect the Holy Spirit, and other sins like these. You know? If you're worried about it, it falls in that category. Well, he didn't list this. Yes, it did. If it's taking you away from thinking about the Holy Spirit and feeling comfortable in the presence of the Holy Spirit, these sins like these. Now, I want us to focus on the other group, okay? This is what we need to be thinking about. And stop worrying about the first group. This group, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Goodness, self-control. We're doing that with the kids, by the way. 30-some kids this week at Selma. 44 kids at Monroe. So we had like almost 80 kids at the two schools this week. And you know what we're teaching? We're teaching this right here.
Right.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
They let us do that. In fact, if they have to move us to another room, they're all apologetic. We're so sorry we have to move. They're apologizing to say, well, we want this to work. We want that. And we're like, yes, thank you. Love was this last week.
Yes.
Those kids learned about love, and we got, of course, to the love of Jesus. By the way, Mr. Dave's the one that put us onto this. This whole idea of the fruit of the Spirit. This is the group we want to be a part of, because this is what helps when you get down to the end of Galatians, where he talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. That's this group right here. That's us. So let's not think about anything for just a minute, even if we can pull Paul back for just a minute and not think about lunch, okay? What about the Holy Spirit right now? What is he doing in you right now? He, the third person of the Trinity, just as important as God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit is the one that kicked all this into motion and keeps it maintained and growing and expanding and blowing up all over the world. In October, we're going to take a night and just spend a night of prayer here at the church. We looked at September. Things got so crowded. Not enough time to prepare. But on that second Friday night, I believe it is, in October, a whole night of prayer. And this is not some program. Because I've been studying in Scripture. I looked at Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit moves. Thousands get baptized. The church grows, 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 grows. I'm like, how does that happen? Acts chapter 1. 10 nights, 10 days, praying, worshiping, praying, worshiping, praying, worshiping. The Holy Spirit came.
Right.
So in chapter 2 of Acts, you look at the scripture that's, that's out of Joel chapter 2. Well, let's go back to Joel. So you go back to Joel chapter 2. Well, how did that happen in Joel chapter 2? Because in Joel chapter 1, God tells the prophet, call a sacred assembly.
Right.
See, if you're like me, if you're like me, you want to see God do something.
Amen.
You know? I loved your song, Mark, Bring Them Home. I want to see God do something in our world.
Yes.
And singing God Bless America is not just some patriotic sentiment. It's a passion in our hearts that says, God, move in America. And how does he move? It's because Acts chapter 1 and Joel chapter 1, sacred assembly. Our response that night is going to be, Holy Spirit, we just want to be in tune. We want to be in tune. We want all night long. That's all it is. I have a hard time staying up past 10 p.m., okay? Maybe some of you do. Maybe some of you don't. Maybe some of you are getting your second win at 10. Even with caffeine on board, espresso, the whole thing makes no difference. It's out. Lights out by 10. But it's not about me. It's about this idea that I want to be part of this group that's listening constantly, continually, habitually for the Holy Spirit. See, the problem is we want to pull back and grab the controls. But it's allowing the Spirit to move at that moment. What does the Spirit want you to do in your life right now? What is He wanting to do in your life right now? See, the key is this is continual engagement right now. What is He wanting to do in our lives? I hope that He's helping us to focus on that second group. If it's okay to pull that slide back up, that there it is, I'm sorry. Right, to focus on that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That it's just so much, it just becomes a part of us. Like, I want to be in the Word. I want to be in prayer. I want to have my mind set right there. So that whatever comes up, whether it be something in the mailbox or something in the email box or something that's texted to me or something that shows up somewhere else, that I can stay focused on these things. Major League Baseball. At the end of, about the end of March, everybody starts out the same, right? 0-0. We're all in first place. Opening day. They say it's a season of rebirth. As we take the mound, the first pitch is thrown and baseball begins. 162 games later, or if you add them all up, about 2,430 games later, all those teams playing, there's a first place person, and then there's a wild card and all that stuff. I'm the kind of guy, and I have that MLB app, that every morning I wake up, if I didn't, you know, get to see it the night before, and find out how my team did. I don't know if you do that or not. And if my team won, I can watch the video highlights, and I always do. If my team lost, I can watch the video highlights, and I never do. Why is it in life we get so caught up watching the negative highlights in life when the losses happen and all the problems happen? Why can't we just grab that? And why did somebody put this in my coat earlier that said, "Go Cubs"? Speaking of baseball, it was not me, believe me. But we do that in life, don't we? We think about that first group, but whether it be something we're struggling with or people around us are struggling, look at that person. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they commit adultery. They do this, they do that, they do this. Or we struggle in our own sin. And we forget that the Spirit wants to do life with us moment by moment by moment by moment. So forget about God's will for your life and think about God's relationship with you, breath by breath. Then the will of God will be exposed as you live in these nine pieces of what life is all about. Where are you with the Holy Spirit? If you took time, it's a crazy thing. You can even buy a mirror now that helps you exercise. I told you about that a month ago. And spend $1,500 to have a mirror show yourself exercising. That's embarrassing. But I'm just thinking, if you took your life and looked in the mirror right now and said, "Holy Spirit, where am I with you?" What would the Holy Spirit say? Let's take a moment and think about that. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand with me? Are you willing to take that risk and say, "You know what? I want to be filled. I want to be used. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit." We're in a time of prayer here. Maybe there are other things you want to come pray about. The altar is open. That's what we call this, a time where you can just come and pray, whether it's for you, for someone else. I would just love it if people would just say, "You know what? I need to walk step by step, breath by breath with the Holy Spirit." This is your time. Jesus, help us to make this confession to you. We don't want to watch the loss of life. We don't want to watch the negative reel that shows our team getting beat up and shut out. We want to watch the victories. And Jesus, this is where the victory comes in, with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's where we want to live, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to walk in step with you. And it says in your word, and we believe what Paul tells the Christians in Galatia, that, you know what, if we will stay in step with the Spirit, we won't give ourselves over to that garbage of life, that sin. Because the Spirit will be controlling us. Holy Spirit, we want to be exclusive with you. Totally yours. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you like to come pray this morning? Who'd like to come pray this morning?
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill
want to come pray this morning. We'll wait just another half minute or so. You're welcome to come and pray. Oh my. More than anything, to be in touch with the Holy Spirit, realizing that I'm the one that needs to step aside and the Spirit needs to be front and center. Realizing I'm the one that needs to, you know, I've learned a lot more in life by listening than by speaking. How about you? I've learned a lot more by listening. So I want to listen to allow the Spirit to speak in my heart and my mind. Moment by moment, breath by breath. Both of these brothers who we interviewed, they understand the value of breath by breath and moment by moment. Holy Spirit, help us to listen. Holy Spirit, help us to follow. Anyone else want to just come and pray? Lord, we commit these moments to you at the altar. We commit this time to you. We're all about having fun. We're all about the exciting moments. My heart, my goal, my desire this morning is as I go through those fun, exciting moments that your Spirit is right there, guiding, leading, cheering, being glorified. That you are molding and making me to be more like Jesus. So when the road takes a crazy turn, when something comes out of nowhere that ruins what I think my life, that I will see you and your hand. I've heard it both today and at previous times from my friend Mark and my friend Paul. When they hit those times when unexpected things came in their path, it was you, Jesus. It was you, Holy Spirit, that saw them through. Be with the needs around these altars. Be with those that are in the pew. We know that we have people that have had surgeries, facing surgery, dealing with cancer, dealing with all kinds of issues of life. May we understand always your Spirit is right there if we will just take hold, if we will repent and rely on you. You are there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.